But Gerrard! Oh, yes! Here's Rooney!
Hello, hello. Welcome to another episode of FPL 360, where we'll be continuing our look at the promoted teams.
Yeah, today we're going to be taking a look at Norwich City, who gained promotion by winning the championship last season. The big thing here is they like to score goals.
Just a little. Weren't they they were the top goal scorers in the championship, correct?
Yeah, so Norwich scored 93 goals, most in the championship. 77 of those were from open play. And I saw a stat on fantasyfootballscout.com. They actually scored 6 more goals than Wolves did when they gained promotion 2 seasons ago. That does not by any means mean that we're saying they're going to be as good as Wolves.
How about not even close?
Yeah, and that's because of their issues at the back. They conceded 57 goals. That was 8th best in the championship.
And which is
very concerning for me.
And it's funny because it looks like, in theory, that it's not too bad. But then you look at the fact that during the second half of the season, Norwich conceded more goals than they did in the first half, and it was like, oh, teams caught on to them and they got worse.
Yeah, in their final 12 games, they only kept 2 clean sheets. One was against Swansea and one was against Middlesbrough. And the other thing that kind of popped out to me was they had a lot of high-scoring games where they conceded at least 2 goals. And obviously playing in the championship with the way the league stacks up, that's not always an issue. But looking at the team from a fantasy perspective and how that will translate to the Premier League, it's a big, big red flag for any of their defenders, for all their defenders.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. And it's unfortunate because, like, if that wasn't already enough of a red flag, the fact that the only reason their defense was on paper so good is the fact that they played a possession-heavy attack, that's enough of a red flag by itself.
Yeah, I mean, they are going to play, or they're going to try and play attractive possession football. They usually use a 4-2-3-1 formation. It's going to be run and gun for them, in my opinion.
And that is not going to work.
Yeah, the man with the large task of keeping them up will be the man that's been talked about a ton in Teemu Pukki. Now, he's coming off a very good season in the championship. He scored a league best 29 goals in 43 appearances. Just to give you the stat rundown, he was tied for the league lead in shots. He was 3rd in shots on target. And he was 2nd amongst all forwards in assists, 9. Are you riding the Pukki hype train?
So my question is, in what sense are we talking about this hype train?
So, I guess we'll start with, do you think he's going to have a successful season? And by successful season, I mean, is he going to be relevant?
By relevant, I think he'll score double-digit goals in the Premier League. But he's not having Charlie Austin get promoted and score 19 goals in the Premier League season by any chance.
I've gone back and forth in terms of whether I'm excited about Pukki from a fantasy perspective, because looking at I mean, his numbers coming up from the championship are obviously very good. He the one that stuck out for me was he scored 31% of Norwich City's goals. And playing as the lone forward for a possession-style team, he's going to get tons of service. Everything's going to run through him. The issue I have, and I mean, I took him, I think, in the eighth or ninth round in one of our mock drafts, which I think was a reach, but forwards were going off the board, so that's kind of why I did that.
Yeah, you've got to play your draft.
Yeah, but I took a look at the last four guys to score 20-plus goals in the championship who are currently still playing in the Premier League, and Glenn Murray was the one who did it most recently. He scored 23 goals in 2016-17. He went from 23 goals to 12. His goals per minutes dropped off from a goal every 149 minutes to a goal 100 every 83 minutes. His shots dropped off from 106 to 53. So, I mean, I do think Pookie is a bit better than Glenn Murray.
He's not more clinical than Glenn Murray, though.
He is not, yeah. And you had Andre Gray did 23 in 2015-16. He went from 23 to 9. Troy Deeney had 21 in 2014-15. He went down to 13. Danny Ings, 2013-14, scored 21. He went down to 11. And without putting everyone to sleep with the numbers, the biggest correlation I noticed was that in a guy like Glenn Murray, who in terms of what he offers Brighton and how he plays, probably is more similar to Pookie. I mean, his goals average pretty much went down by 40 minutes, and his shots were cut in half. So it comes down to whether Pookie will be clinical enough and convert enough of his chances.
And considering that he's also someone who's never scored more than, was it 9 goals in the top flight?
Yeah, that's another thing too. I mean, he has bounced around a bit. He's never had a season like this. Now, maybe he's a late bloomer, I guess, but at the same time, he's 29. I don't think this was a complete flash in the pan, but I do think we need to curb our expectations of him. But the thing that's tripping me up is 6.5 million. In FPL. If he was at
that's
6,
too much, man.
If he was at 6, I would back him over Calvert-Lewin to start. But at 6.5, I think that's just too much.
No.
The other thing kind of to think about with him, and this is why I like him in drafts, is they don't really have
anything.
They don't really have a competitor for his spot. So, I mean, even if he's misfiring, it's his spot, unless he's hurt.
Yeah, I mean, and that's definitely fair. Like, he's going to get a run out. And he's obviously going to score goals, because defeat a striker and they'll eventually score something. But in draft leagues, he's going to get drafted too high because of 29 goals in the championship. In FPL, he's already been valued too high because he scored 29 goals in the championship. So it's like, I'm just going to wait until he's a buy-low candidate and either target getting him from people in draft leagues as my forward 3 or 4, or wait until people drop him in FPL so he gets some price drops.
Right now he's selected by 6.7% of teams, which is...
That's going to get shed.
Crazy.
Real quick.
My initial thought after seeing the price come out was, hey, if I want to get cheeky and back him as a differential, I thought that would be viable, but I didn't expect him to have more than 2% owned at this point. I mean, there is a lot of hype around him, and obviously it's early to be looking at ownership percentages in FPL. But still, that's just too much for me. there's not enough historical data in terms of how he his scoring records to say that, you know, he's not anything more than 15 goals would be far exceeding my expectations. Yeah. And it's too bad, because I thought going through you would see a less of a drop off in terms of strikers scoring in the championship, the Premier League, but it's just not the case. But looking at the guys who will be helping him provide the goals in midfield, we have Emiliano Buendia. He's probably their most skilled on the ball attacking midfielder. Last season, 38 appearances, 8 goals, and 12 assists. He's pretty good. His 12 assists were joint most in the championship. His 91 key passes were good for third as well in the league. He's someone who I know was picked in, I believe, all three of the mocks that we've taken part in.
As he should be. Okay with drafting him everywhere.
Where would you say I guess I'll ask you, where would you draft him versus where do you think he's going to be drafted?
I would draft him between the 9th and 11th rounds. I think he's going to get drafted in either the 7th or the 8th.
He does enough for me not to be worried about him in draft leagues. I mean, I think he's going to be... Do you have him in your top 40 for midfielders?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think I have him somewhere around 30.
He's in the 30s, yeah.
Yeah. In FPL, he's at 6 million. That, however, I think is too expensive.
Yeah, not by much, honestly, for him. Because, realistically, when you look at the fact that they also valued Jack Grealish at 6 million, then you understand that they're placing heavy premiums on midfielders with attacking returns.
Mm-hmm.
But at 6 million, I have Harvey Barnes. So I'm getting Leicester.
Yeah, I'm not going to. Trust me, I'll be the last person to combat you on Harvey Barnes. He's a guy that we both really like this season. Yeah, I like Emiliano Buendia. I think he, like you said, it's just the returns from the championship have inflated his price. The other thing, I guess, to note with him is he is one of their set-piece takers. It's not as clear-cut.
Unfortunately, they don't score them.
Yeah, and from what I've seen in terms of penalties, it's usually him or Pukki.
Yeah, I mean, which is good that he's on penalties, but the prevailing thought that VAR is going to mean more penalties for the Premier League, I'm not going to ascribe to, because that's not really how it works, because it's a give and a take.
Yeah, I wouldn't. That's interesting, and I'm sure we'll get to it when we do our rankings episode with Milo Vujacic, Mr. VAR.
I don't even want to talk about Milo.
Like, yeah, we'll move on to the next midfielder. Marco Stepperman, he is the other Stepperman. He's the other attacking midfielder in Norwich's side. I think that's worth a look in fantasy. Last season, in 44 appearances, he had 9 goals and 6 assists. The biggest thing from looking at some of Norwich's film from last season, he operates as their number 10, and he likes to shoot from distance.
Well, also, you say attacking midfielder, but he was also averaging 1.4 tackles per game and a clearance per game. So he's kind of their do-everything midfielder.
Yeah, I mean, he plays as number 10, but he does drop back, as you said, and he has a good work rate. which gives him more value for draft leagues.
And luckily, since he doesn't have the flash of Buendia, he's gonna drop.
Yeah, he's at
drafts.
Yeah, he's somebody. He's probably going to be drafted. No matter what, I don't see him going undrafted, because even if you don't do a ton of research, his name pops up in a decent amount of places.
So the interesting thing in the two drafts that we've been in together, in one he was not taken, in the other he was taken in the 11th round.
Yeah, I mean, he averaged 2 shots per match and 1.7 key passes, 1.3 dribbles. So I would definitely be looking to draft him in the later rounds if he's around. I don't know if I'd go that early on him, though.
I mean, if you're depending on your team, if you're filling out your mid-5, I'm for it.
You know, another thing to consider, and I noticed it a little bit in one of the mocks, I'm not sure which one, but when you get to the mid later rounds and you start to see the championship players coming off the board, there is a tendency for people to reach because they think, oh, if this guy's going here a little bit higher, maybe everyone else is on the guy I'm looking at.
Which is not the case, because yeah, there's usually only 1 to 2 guys that people actually yeah know. And then they throw darts everywhere else.
Yeah. You think he's overpriced at 5.5 in
FPL? Not particularly.
Yeah, I think
both he and Buendia should be both priced at 5.5, but
yeah, I don't think I'm going to have him in my team to start, but if Norwich
end the season not having a Norwich player in my FPL squad ever.
Yeah, I mean, they have, looking at their schedule, I mean, they have somewhat of a decent run, game week 6 through game week 9, but I need to see signs of life before I bring those guys into my team. I do actually own Tim Krul, because my FPL name is Krul to be Kind, which I thought was a good name because I'm a big fan of the 80s new wave music. That was just a complete out of left field comment. The issue we pointed out with clean sheets looking like they'll be few and far between kind of takes most of their defenders out of the equation. Takes them all out for FPL pretty much. But for draft leagues, this is a guy who I saw go pretty early comparatively to where I thought he would go in our expert mock, and that's Max Aarons, their right back.
Yeah.
He had 41 starts, 2 goals, and 6 assists.
And what? That's cool and all, but if they're going to concede a lot, and we've already basically gotten correlation that assists in the championship do not equal assists in the Premier League, I don't really see how you can back either him or Jamal Lewis.
Yeah, and looking at some of his defensive numbers, he didn't really
doesn't play defense.
Yeah, he doesn't do enough on a match-to-match basis to have support from peripheral scoring. I mean, in draft leagues, would you say he's a bench defender, or?
I'd put him as an undrafted defender, because undrafted. It's like, when you look at his actual defensive metrics versus what you anticipate Norwich to give up, and you literally have Joe Bryan.
Yeah, he averaged 1.6 tackles, 1.1 interceptions per match last season, and 6 assists, 0.8 key passes per match. That's not
It's not
what
going
you
to get
would
it
want.
done.
Yeah, it's just not a sustainable number. Yeah, and it's interesting to see too, like looking at the matches when he got his assists, and like you look at the, you know, he had one against Sheffield in a blowout, one against Swansea in a blowout, one against QPR in a blowout. So,
and yes,
18,
so,
he might have just been a bottom side
goalie. And so, what's
last
interesting
season.
For Bristol, Joe Bryan had 5 goals and 3 assists before coming to Fulham. He averaged 2.9 tackles, 1.8 interceptions, and was actually pretty consistent on those when coming to Fulham. Which, and those numbers were still high, that higher than Max Aaron's. But he ended up in the negatives in almost every game because of Fulham shipping in goals.
Yeah, I just it's frustrating looking at Norwich because they have, where would you put them in terms of the three clubs coming up? I'd say they probably have,
they have the best attack, the worst defense.
Yeah, worst defense, and that, you know, is all back weighted when you're coming up. But yeah, he was the other guy I've seen people interested in.
And then it's funny because it's like looking at the numbers, you're like, well, he should do well in the Premier League. But then when you look a little deeper and look at players that have kind of had similar seasons, I can't see him doing well.
Yeah, my issue is that he's not going to be, he's going to be forced to defend a lot more. And that is,
and he hasn't proven that he's good at it.
Yeah, so any sort of attacking upside he offers, it's going to be squished into a smaller quantity, and it's just not realistic to assume he's going to have. I'd say I put his over under at like 3 assists this year. 6 is definitely a reach.
I'd take that.
Tim Krul, he's coming off a season in goal. He had 136 stops, which is 4th most in the championship. But they did sign Ralph Farman, who we talked about in our transfer episode. Is this a clear-cut competition, or do you think one of these guys is just better than the other, flat out?
I'm hoping it's a clear-cut competition because Krul is the better keeper, so I don't really understand exactly why they got Farman on loan. So I just want to think Krul's going to start, and I will put in my head that anything that lets Krul start should happen.
Yeah, Krul does have Premier League experience as well. When he was at Newcastle a couple of seasons ago, in 2013-14, he had 101 saves and 10 clean sheets, 123 FPL points. And he started every match that season. So he has experience. Yeah, I'm a little confused. I mean, they got Farman on a free, sorry, on loan. So that's obviously just to kind of fortify the spot in case injuries arise. I would like to see Krul be the starter. And we'd mentioned that Farman's known for his ability to stop penalties. But I don't, this defense is not good enough to suggest that even if one of the guys wins the job to really own them. I really own him for name purposes in FPL.
Yep, sounds about right.
So we got into it a little bit, talking about where they stack up. Your initial take, Norwich stays up or do they go down?
I have Norwich finishing dead bottom of the league in 20th.
So I think they're going to finish 17th. sorry, I think they're going to finish 18th. And they do have the thing that kind of gives me a little bit more belief in them than Sheffield is the fact if they're going to be coming down to the end of the season and they're going to be needing to see off some of these matches. I mean, I don't think they're going to have too much of an issue scoring goals. It's just they could be on the losing end of a lot of, you know, 5-2, 4-2 matches this season.
That's fair.
It'd be interesting to see the most goals scored by a club in their relegation campaign.
Wouldn't QPR come close?
Yeah, we'll have to.
We'll take a look at figure. That.
We'll run that figure next episode when we preview Aston Villa, the final of the three promoted clubs. You have any closing, parting thoughts on Norwich before we wrap this episode up?
I don't believe in Norwich whatsoever. If it's not a holding midfielder, I don't want it.
Yeah, Pookie in draft leagues, Buendia, Superman, and that's pretty much it. And with that, we'll just wrap this episode up. We've been trying to cut down on my aimless talking when we're not sure whether to end the episode or not. Remember, you can find us on Twitter at FPL_360 and pretty much everywhere where podcasts are found. I realize that I've been saying that the last few episodes, but then we don't say which of the places the podcasts are found. So, Chuck, if you want to just give everyone a little reminder.
You can find us on Spotify, Apple,
iTunes,
Google Play, Stitcher, and also our hosting site, AudioStack, which can be found on Twitter.
Perfect. We'll also be sending out information about our FPL 360 league for the official FPL game, which should be interesting. We might have some prizes, so stay tuned. We'll be sending out a tweet about that in the coming days.